Does hearing that music, that stinger, make you nervous, Bill?
let me sit down here a minute. I'm standing at attention and saluting.
Ah, it's Wendy Snyder in for John Williams. And, Bill, isn't it true, though, that when you hear, like if we hear the traffic sound or the news sound, or you're all of a sudden at attention, it brings you back?
Well, it takes you back years.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? You were growing up. You were very young. I was young, and you know exactly why you're listening to that.
Oh, totally. Just a kid from Kansas, and now the legendary anchorman, journalist, documentarian, storyteller. You want me to keep going here? You've done everything. Bill, it is such an honor to talk to you today.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. Nice to be here.
And you are going to be at the Museum of Broadcast Communications tomorrow at noon. And one of the best, Larry Potash, is going to give you a little Q&A session.
Take of the morning.
Yes. He can learn a few things from you, Bill. Has he asked you for advice?
Oh, no. I want to ask him what it's like to be young again.
You look sensational. Come on.
Oh, you're nice.
Well, you're going to be there, and you're going to do a Q&A, a book signing, Whirlwind, My Life Reporting the News. When did that book come out? Earlier this year?
September 21, my birthday.
Oh.
And, you know, it's 60 years, not in the making, but that's what we cover. And 30 of those are Chicago news. So it was very interesting to do because it kind of is a parallel theme. One is the evolution of TV and radio news and my career at the same time. So I kind of watched it back and forth as we both get older.
Now, news is so different. The way we consume news is so different from when you were on the air, isn't it?
Well, I'm talking to you on an iPhone. And, you know, today we're getting kind of the best footage from the ICE raids from our camera on the ICE phone. And that that's sort of our current state of visuals. TV stations are out there doing a great job, and they've got their investigative reports. We have satellite trucks now that were not even heard of when I started out. And that's where we've come. And people poo-poo the social media, as do I. You have to be careful. You can't believe everything, except you can believe the video that you're seeing on the screen. So something has got to happen with that. And maybe we can organize it into a delivery system that has some integrity.
You really do have to fact check these days. You know, you see some kind of video and you don't know if you can trust it at this point.
Well, you really can't. I think that's the attitude to have because, you know, if you see, and you can't even see like Mark Kelly. I was just looking at something, the senator.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, I believe he would, this was the actual recording of his speech, but they can lay in this artificial intelligence and sell you on something, or have Tom Hanks in there selling sunscreen, or just pitiful. So we got to get a hold of that.
All right. Well, now your whole career kind of started when you were reporting on this Topeka, Kansas tornado of 1966. I am deathly afraid of tornadoes. I know they're nothing to be joking around about, but I'm telling you, when that tornado warning goes off, I am down in my basement with a flashlight and my phone and everything else. But that was back in 1966. Were you on the radio then? Or?
Well, I'd graduated from law school, taking the bar, studying for it. And I had worked at the only TV station in town, WIVW, as, you know, my part-time job. Had a deep voice and actually worked my way sort of through college and law school with that job. We had this alert, and I was filling in for a guy who went on vacation. But, you know, the alert very often doesn't amount to anything.
Yeah.
Except we had stationed in Topeka these watches out at the city limits, usually on the southwest side, to see if we, and looked at the skies. Had no Doppler, had no fancy, you know, radar, and got a call. Hey, we've got a tornado on the ground. Oh, well, it'll probably bounce up. So they put me in front of a camera, 7 o'clock, and we're waiting for the all clear. And the general manager comes over and says, give the warning. It's on the ground. It's huge. And it's headed for the city. I said, the warning? Nobody had thought we'd ever get to that point. And I didn't know whether to... I knew I had to get him into the basement, but I didn't know whether to cuss or laugh or cry, you know, something different. And I just out of my gut, I don't know why, but I said, for God's sake, take cover, in an emotional way. And those five words, really set the stage for a 60-year career. I had accepted a job as a trial lawyer, but I was struggling with, the experience. And I loved broadcasting, but it wasn't really mature enough at the time to compare with the law. And yet, right there, changed my mind. As if God was reaching down and said, you idiot, your talents are in broadcasting.
Well, when did you go to medical school? Because I swear you've done everything.
Well, I know. I've always been interested in medical school. Didn't have time.
All right. Well, hold your thought. We're going to come back and finish this up and talk about your appearance at the Museum of Broadcast Communications tomorrow. It's the legendary Bill Curtis, and we will continue talking with him and about his book, Whirlwind, My Life Reporting the News. Coming up next here on 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder in for John Williams today, and we have the honor of speaking with Bill Curtis, legendary anchorman, journalist. I mean, really, Bill, storyteller is really what you're all about. I could listen to you talk about anything.
Well, you mentioned Anchorman, the movie. I was afraid that my little narration on Anchorman was going to be the signature of my career. And I said, wait a minute, I got 60 minutes down there, a lot of time in Chicago looking at history, telling that story, if you will. So I better get it down on paper. And so I used the COVID period, everybody was sort of off and at home to write it. And I'm glad I did.
Oh, that's great. Whirlwind is the book. You really have covered tremendous, meaningful stories that have happened around the world and in Chicago. You were there for the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago. You reported on four of the largest trials, Richard Speck, the Chicago Seven, Charles Manson. What are some of the things that hit you the hardest? What are some of the most meaningful stories you've covered? It's probably impossible to come up with some.
Well, with a focus unit, my investigative unit there at Channel 2, 1978, we broke the story on Agent Orange. Which is still going, obviously, 50 years later. And it turned out, I keep looking at the numbers of veterans who have been compensated. They're at 690,000. And it kind of got away from me, but it helped a lot. That's what a reporter wants to do. The conspiracy trial, we forget that the protesters, we were at ground zero in 1968. With the protests, a year later, the conspiracy trial, they were trying to disrupt it. I was there for every day, and then got a CBS News hired me to go to California and cover Manson, where I sat next to him for probably 10 months. Jeez. And he tried to disrupt the trial. And I said, hey, wait a minute. I'm the only guy here who knows anything about disrupting the trial. But it was a circus out there. And one day after the other, I never looked back, never had anything to do. Don't play tennis or golf. I just like to do my job.
Was there any event that you found yourself afraid or, because really you have covered some incredible stories and you are just so calm, cool, and smooth over everything. Has there been a time where you were a little fearful?
Yes. I rode along it was a 707 flying rice into Phnom Penh from Saigon toward the end of the war, and they were keeping it alive. The Khmer Rouge guerrillas were taking it over, and I was sitting in the passenger, not the passenger, they had none. They had 20 tons of rice in the back, but behind the pilot. And I thought, well, I've got to go back after we had unloaded and look and film, you know, the empty hold to show, well, here's empty, and we've unloaded our thing. And while there, he had to dodge an air traffic control, which there wasn't much left at Tan Sonot, the airport. He had to avoid an air collision. And when he did that, I hit that centrifugal curve, you know, the astronauts floating around in their training, and thought, oh, Jesus, how am I going to get down? Well, there was a net that held the load back, so I kind of pulled myself down and sheepishly got back and safety belted in. I kind of thought that was it, but you never know. And that's part of the thrill and the adventure. And up into the 70s, when electronic journalism came in and the minicam, you know, we were out and testing our ability to stay alive every day. It was, you know, planes and choppers. But it was it's a great story. Great story for me.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Well, listeners, you do not want to miss interview, book signing, meet and greet at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. This is happening tomorrow, Saturday, December 6th, 12 noon. You can get tickets at museum.tv. And, you know, if I could say anything to Larry Potash, who is going to be doing the Q&A, I'm going to tell him, for God's sake, take cover.
Please do. You'll probably run off the set.
Oh, Bill, it's so great to talk to you again. And tomorrow, that's the place to be, Museum of Broadcast Communication. Great to talk to you again, Bill.
Thanks, Wendy.
Talk to you soon. The legendary Bill Curtis, you got to love him. And get these tickets, museum.tv. You know, Bill Curtis telling stories. Really, I could listen to him talk about anything. And then a bonus, Larry Potash is going to be there, too, from WGN-TV, the morning news. Got to go, museum.tv.